Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Job 42, let me read just a little bit. Stand out of respect for God's word. This is a story of the richest man turning into the poorest man, of the wealthiest man becoming a pauper. I'm talking about in 1 year's time. And it says, and a man that was greatly respected, all of a sudden, he was a man of disdain. The devil, the world, Job's friends, and even his wife counted him down and out. But Job had a faith in God that caused him to be raised up out of the ashes. You talk about the comeback kid. It is Job of the Old Testament. Father, we pray again your blessing. We're reading about a man who come full circle. How in 24 hours, he lost all of his wealth. He lost his health shortly after that. And in 1 year's time, he had come full circle. He was the greatest man of the East. And then he was rendered at the bottom of the barrel. And he didn't have any idea what was going on. All he knew is that he loved you. God, I pray that you give us that kind of faith even this morning. And we will thank you for all you're going to do right here in our midst. And God, we pray that you would increase our faith in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. We all have troubles. Things go wrong for everybody. But for Job, man, his life totally changed. I trust that this morning, God will encourage you. Let me give you a little bit of an outline and I'm gonna get right to it. In Job chapter 1, verses 2 through 10, it's Job's biography. That's what I'm gonna preach this morning. It won't take long. Chapter 2, 11 through chapter 31, it was Job's friends, and they meant well. For 7 days, they sat there in silence. They loved Job, but they were shallow, and they did not understand. They oversimplified the will of God, and they had no idea what was going on in the heavenlies, and so they turned out not being a blessing, but really a curse. And then chapters 38 through 41, it is God truth. God is dealing with Job. It is God truth. And then chapter 2, we get to the conclusion. Let's go back to Job in chapter 1. Look what it says in that very first verse. And again, Job is the writer of this book. He lived 200 years. He lived another 140 years after this event happened that we are going to read of here this morning. Interesting, the word Job means disdained or hated. It's the oldest book in the Bible. He is pre-Israel. Sometime after the Tower of Babel and Abraham, that is when Job lived. There's no mention of Jews because there are none. Hebrew patriarchs or prophets because there are none. Not even the law because there is no law yet. And he offered sacrifices. He was like the family priest. And he followed God the best he knew how. And we're going to see a little bit about that. It says here, and it was of the godly line of Shem. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the, underline it, greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone on his day, kind of like a birthday, and sent and called for their 3 sisters, family time, to eat and to drink with them. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age and a culture where every time somebody reads the word drink in the Bible, they think it's some kind of alcoholic beverage. And that's not what is even inferred here. So their feasting is what they are doing. Verse 5, And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was a praying man. Job was a family man. Job was one that offered sacrifices on behalf of his children. He didn't even know they did anything wrong. And as far as he knew, he didn't. But man, he was taking the high ground. And he truly worshiped God. He was a man that loved God. And we read here, and he did it continually, the scripture says. And let me ask you this. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your grandchildren? Do you do it continually? You don't need to offer sacrifices today, but you better bring their name before the throne of grace. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, the sons of God came to present, they were summoned, present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And Revelation in chapter 12 and verse 11, we read that the devil, that Lucifer, that Satan, that he's the accuser of the brethren. He has access to the throne of God for a time. He has access to the throne of God, and any time and every time he can accuse the saints of God, he will do so, and he was doing it on that day. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered. By the way, it's the first time the title Satan is used in the Word of God. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us to be careful. Our adversary as a devil, as a lion, walketh this earth seeking whom he may devour. Looking for the weak ones. Looking for those that stray from the flock. The church is real important. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect or complete, not sinless, a mature and an upright man, one that feareth God and hateth or escheweth evil. He's a God-led man. And Satan takes the bait. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? You know what he's saying? Job fears you because you bless him. Job fears you because you've made him rich. Job fears and worships you because you put a hedge about him, and he is a protected man. It's like he's born with that spiritual silver spoon in his mouth. That's why Job, and God says, oh, really? Let's read on, read the story. Satan answered and said, the Lord said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. He said, God, you let me have him. God, you take away all his wealth, because people do worship wealth. People do worship gain. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day, this all happens in 24 hours. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone. To tell thee. So a servant comes in, he's all out of breath, and he says, Job, master, the Sabaeans came down and took all of the livestock, and they killed all of the servants. And verse 16 says, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Man, so one right after, one's not even done talking. The other one comes running in. And then a third one comes in. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So all of his wealth and all of his livestock, all taken in just a matter of hours. And then he gets the worst message of all. The message every parent dreads hearing. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. Job, your children are dead. And Job rips his clothes and he cries out to God, throws himself on the ground. Verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. That's a sign of mourning, and fell down upon the ground. And here's his response. And worshiped. He is a man of God. He's a man of faith. Job didn't have riches because he blessed God, because he worshiped God. No, let me, Job did not worship God because of the blessings. Job was blessed of God because he worshiped God. Everything was taken away. All the blessings stopped. His family was ripped from his face. He lost everything in a matter of hours. And his response was to humble himself, get on the ground, and worship his God. It tells us here also in verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love this. And all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And all of this, he never cried out to God, God, why me? Why me? That's not where he was. Can I say this? When God was, and I'll use the word bragging on Job. If God loved you as much as you loved God, where would you be this morning? Thank God for his mercy. If God loved me the way Tim Rader loves God, I'd be in a world of hurt. But oh, God loves me. And oh, God loves you. And there is a hedge around you. There is protection around you. There's some great insights in the book of Job. It tells us why the righteous suffer sometimes. It tells us there's always a greater purpose to suffering that comes into our life. Job was blessed of God. Job knew the good hand of God. And he did not love God because of the blessings. He loved God because of who God was. Bad year. Job says in 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Job says in 19 and verse 25, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day. And after the worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. Isn't that amazing? Even before Abraham, Job understood God. Job was taught of God. No wonder Job was the greatest man of the East. No wonder God, because Job honored God. No wonder God blessed Job, because Job obeyed God. What a lesson that is for all of us to learn. This is a bad year. Things are really going wrong in the life of Job. But he's saying through this, I trust God. He's saying that God has been faithful. Look at chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. This is kind of round 2. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. I love this. Even old Beelzebub, even Lucifer, Satan himself, the devil himself, he didn't have free reign in this world. He has to report to God. So he's summoned to the throne of God again. He has failed. Job is still loving God. And it says in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That's the second time we're told that. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan, you ever wonder where a smart mouth and a lack of respect originate? Right in the heart of old Beelzebub himself. It says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. He, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. He's saying Job's no different than any other man. You take away his health. You make him a miserable heap. He'll curse you. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Let me have his bones. Let me have his flesh. You'll see what Job is made of. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. He sat in a heap of misery. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Mrs. Job had gone through everything that Job had gone through. But she was embittered as a result of it. And again, it is so important that the man of God be the man of God in every household. I'm not kicking Mrs. Job in the teeth by preaching what I'm preaching right now, but she needed her husband. She needed a man of God in that household. That is very obvious by the statement that she makes here. And it tells us in verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, what a powerful, powerful statement. His wife, first of all, and now his friends are going to come. And they mourn with him for 7 days. We won't read it. We won't read the rest of that because it'll take too much time. They mourn with him 7 days. But afterwards, they start to philosophize, and they start to share all they know about God. And it's about that deep. It's shallow. And it's oversimplified. And they do not understand that there is a spiritual battle in the heavenlies for every single soul of every man, woman, and child born into this world. They do not understand the greatness and the complexities of God and who he is. And boy, God makes that with very clear with God truth in the remainder of this book. Go all the way to chapter 42 now. Go back to chapter 42. And let's look at verse 10. Again, in reviewing what we've studied, Job had a wonderful beginning. Greatest man in the East. God has blessed him, and God has blessed him because he's been obedient. God has blessed him because he has been faithful. And Job just loves God. He loved God when he had nothing, and he loved God when he had everything, and he loved God when everything was taken away, and he had less than nothing all over again. And sat around a fire in ashes, a heap of misery and pain from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And now people just kind of cluck their tongue at him when they walk by. He used to be a great man. Look at him now. And Job still loved God in all of that. And it tells us, after coming full circle, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. What a man of God. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold, so that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Remember the Christmas story? It's a Christmas Hollywood story. It's a Wonderful Life. And how George, what was his last name? George Bailey. Figures the Baileys would remember that, right? George Bailey was at the end. Everybody's bringing in all that money, even the bank examiner. Remember that? They all came in. In a simple way, that's what happened here. Do you realize how many friends Job had before all these things happened? And now they see the blessing of God on his life again. And so he's a rich man all over again. But not only that, it also says in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more. Now let's end with this. Let's make this abundantly clear. Circle the word more. Job was the greatest man in the East. The latter part of his life, God blessed him more than in his beginning. Then 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses, 7 sons and 3 daughters. So it was actually doubled as well. And he named the first daughter, daughters are precious, Jemima, and the name of the second was Keziah, and the name of the third was Karen Hoppock. And they actually were had part of the inheritance as well. Verse 16 says, after this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Great, great, grandpa, great, great grandchildren. So Job died being old and full of days. Now, this is what I want to say. That's how I want my life to end. You might be here and you're an old man or you're an old woman this morning. You can have more now than what you ever had in your entire life. And it will not be measured in yokes of oxen and donkeys and so forth. It'll be measured in something far better than that and far richer than that. It'll be measured in eternal things. The blessings of God, the windows of hope of heaven can be opened unto you if you'll just honor God, love God through thick and thin, good times or bad, whether you've got riches or whether you're sitting around a campfire in ashes and you have nothing left and your body is covered with sores, you've got no more health, still honor God. You say, why did God do that for Job? And with that, I close. Go back to Job chapter 1 and just verse 1. Job made himself a man that God could bless. Job, a man of highest integrity. Listen, this is his character, what we're going to read here. And by the way, he did this because he loved God. It says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, oldest book in the Bible, before the flood, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. He was perfect. He was mature. This man was a soldier. This man was willing to accept whatever the will of God was for his life. The scripture says he was complete, mature, a perfect. It is not saying sinless. The word means complete. So this guy had all of his, he was temperate. He was a man that did not get rattled when things go wrong. Think about what happened in 24 hours. He was a man that was, his feet were on the rock. He was upright. That means not crooked. He was gun barrel straight. He was an honest man. A man that people could trust. A man that God could trust. He feared God. Is that missing in America today? So many of us, we're willing to sin if, you know, nobody will find out about it. But what we fail to understand is there's a God in heaven that knows it all and sees behind every door and every dark corner and every recess and crack in our heart. He knows exactly who we are. And Job feared God. He still served God even when he acted the same in the dark as he did in the light. He was a man who knew that there was an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God above, man who was watching over him, and he knew his life was important to God. So he was mature, he was solid, he was upright, straight as an arrow. Feared God, he was honest. By the way, feared God means he always gave God his best. Nowhere in the Bible do we read that Job was a sinless man. That is not in the Word of God. And by the way, the book of Job is quoted in, I think, all but 3 New Testament books. It's quoted again and again in the New Testament. True man, actually lived. But he was a man who always put his best foot forward. Man, he always wanted to give God his very best, even when no one else was looking. That is what is so wrong with casual worship. I know, and I get quoted to this to me, because I talk to these people all the time, and I try to help bring them back to truth all of the time. And they always quote Samuel, where it says, God doesn't look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. And I always tell them exactly what I know, what it says in context. Yes, sir, because God was interested in a good king. He was looking, and listen, God does look on the heart, and he does see the sinner that comes through the church door and needs Christ. And he does hear their sinner's prayer of salvation, where they ask Jesus to come in there. God sees the heart for the baby Christian that doesn't always know how to dress right, doesn't always know how to talk right. And God sees that they're trying and they want to serve him when they learn. But the difference is, God not only sees the heart, he does see the outside as well. He sees the whole person. And if I'm rebelling against the known will of God, man, God sees that in my heart. I just want you to know that. And it'll show many times. So here it is, Sunday morning, I'm going to wear my best. My best might not be much. My best might be a t-shirt, but it's clean. You know what? If it's my best, it's my best. And I grow in grace. And pretty soon I know to go to Goodwill and find some nicer clothes. And I just want to do right. When I come to God, I want to give him my best, put my best foot forward. I just think that's part of growing in grace. It doesn't add any grace. That is not it. Job feared God. And then he eschewed evil. Know what that word eschewed means? Hated. Avoid. The Bible tells us in Romans 13:14, make no provision for the lust of the flesh. In Job's life, there was a marked difference between him and those that did not worship the Lord God Jehovah. He hated evil. I said this in Sunday school. You would not have found Job in the nightclubs of his day. You would not have found Job in a place where there was immorality or debauchery going on. That is not who Job was. Job was the separatist. He, like Jesus, hates evil. Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. He is a holy God. And when you grow in grace, you start to figure out, man, there's some places I should not go. And there's some things I should not say. And there's some things I should not listen to. And there's some people I shouldn't hang around. I'll give them the gospel. I'll testify to them. But I'm not gonna enter into that false union with darkness. Man, Job experienced, he actually entered into the valley of darkness. And for a while, for a couple of chapters, he was a little bit in despair and delusional. And for a while, things got real foggy and murky. And then God spoke to him. Said, Job, where were you when I created the worlds? You have no idea. You don't understand the complexity of one single human being, let alone 8 billion on the planet, and the complexities of the universe. There is a God above that we need to fear. There's a God above that we need to love. There is a God above that we need to be totally surrendered to, that we might be complete and mature and give him our very best. We need to hate evil like God hates evil. Love the sinner like God loves the sinner. That is a fine line to walk. I understand that. But that's what we're. But if we will do that, your life can end even better than what it started. The truth is, we all got a pretty good life. Every one of us here, we're some of the richest people on earth, materially. I mean, compared to the rest of the population of the world, you realize how rich we are? And you just go back just a little bit in ancient history, like when I was a kid. You know what? Nobody had 2 cars. Man, you didn't have carpet in your house. I remember when we finally got carpet in our house, carpet wall to wall. Man, that had to be something to have carpet. I remember the first time I saw a color TV. It was at my 5th grade teacher's house. I was scared to death. I was there to see Mrs. Burke about having to go to Sunday school, and and I remember the Vietnam War news was on, and I walked into her house, and it was in full color, and it was like it lit up the whole house. I thought, wow, I never saw anything like that before. Do you remember? And my parents even more so, and my grandparents even more so. Man, it was a different life back then. We are so blessed. Aren't you glad you don't have to use an outhouse? Huh? That was just a generation ago. You realize that? That was I grew up, but the first 8 years of my life, we had an outhouse. Man, you realize how much God has blessed us. How many of us got 2 cars? How many of us got 5 sets of clothes? How many of us got a closet full of shoes? You ladies, you hearing this? A closet right full of shoes. I'll testify, I'll confess, I could wear a different pair of socks every day of the month. I think I'd be okay. We're rich. We are rich. Here's the deal. It can get even better, spiritually speaking. If you would do these 4 things, become mature, upright, fear God, and hate evil. I'm not saying God will give you riches like he did Job. He'll give you riches that'll last forever. You'll see people get saved and grandkids get right. And man, they'll know that something's different at grandpa's house. And you know, they'll start figuring things out. You can be that city that's set on a hill. Man, you can be greatly used of God. Are you someone that you want to finish better than what you started? You don't, no matter what happens in your life, you want to finish strong for God? You come to Jesus. You can do it right here at the altar. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, come to Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.